The time being 5:30, I'd like to declare the meeting open and advise all those in attendance that it is Council policy to record Council meetings. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on Council's website for a period of 12 months. In accordance with Council policy, I'll ask the General Manager to confirm that the audio recording has commenced. Yeah. And it has. Next item, I would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners, the continuing custodians of this land in which we gather today, and acknowledge elders past and present. Attendees tonight, we have myself, Councillor Wass, Deputy Mayor Councillor Reid, Councillor Atkinson, Councillor Berry, Councillor Chatterton, Councillor Percy, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Grace and Councillor Winter in attendance. From staff, we have our General Manager, Mr. Arnold, our Deputy General Manager, Mr. Ferrier, our Executive Manager, Engineering Services, Mr. Reeve, our Manager, Environmental Services, Mr. Dool, our Manager, Development Services, we have, yes, Mrs. Tyler Moore, our NRM Coordinator, Ms. Quinn, our Environmental Planner, Ms. Den Exter, our Media and our Communications Officer, Ms. Wilcox, and sitting beside her, our Planning Officer, Ms. Potter, and our Executive Assistant, Mrs. Morton. We have one apology tonight, and that is Councillor Fox. And at this stage, councillors and staff, I'd like to warmly welcome Hobart Alderman Bill Harvey in the audience. So welcome, Bill. We'll move on to page two, and the first item is confirmation of the minutes of committee of council meeting number 24 held on the 12th of December 2016. I have a mover in Councillor Reid and a seconder in Councillor Bastone. I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Reid, seconded by Councillor Bastone, that the minutes of council meeting number 24 held on the 21st December be confirmed. Those in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. Workshops held since our last meeting on the 21st of December, there were none. Declarations of interest. Councillors, are there any declarations of interest? There are none. We'll move over to page three. At our last meeting, questions without notice from the public, there was a question from Mr. Wayne Burgess, and perhaps it would be appropriate for Mr. Reeve, if you'd like to read your response for Mr. Burgess, please.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, so the tenders for the design and construction of the stormwater works will be called early in 2017, with the construction to commence this financial year and then to be completed early in the new financial year.
Thank you, Mr. Reeve. Mr. Burgess did ask two questions. The other one was in relation to developments, and I'll ask Tash if you would read your response for Mr. Burgess, please. Thank you.
Through you, Mayor. Our response was, pursuant to the requirements of the Kingborough Interim Planning Scheme 2015, the required area of permeable surfaces for residential development is 25% of the site. And with respect to the mentioned development at Roslyn Avenue, I can advise that the site has been inspected by Council's senior planner and the developer of the site has been advised that the use of non-permeable black plastic is unsuitable for landscaping works. Additionally, the developer has been requested to rectify the rear garden landscaping for the development.
Thank you. Next item on page four is questions without notice from the public. Are there any questions on notice? Without notice? Yes. Paul, could you take the microphone back, please? With your name and address again, as usual.
Mark McBride from Judbury. Mayor Wass and councillors, I'm just here to ask you and to remind you guys that our Tasmanian devil is facing extinction. And being from the Huon Valley, The only place I'm going to see a Tasmanian devil in future is roadkill. That's the only place the people of the valley are going to see the next devil, which is a terrible shame, because a devil to the Huon Valley community could bring a lot of tourists.
And your question, please?
And my question is to you people, how much do you value the Tasmanian devils in your electorate? And as you build the new Summerlees Road, I know, could it not be possible to put a small pipe under that intersection to allow the crossing of the road for our last Tasmanian devil? If we spend $16 million at this intersection, could we not put some sort of a modest pipeline under that intersection for our last wombat, our last quolls, and our last Tasmanian devil? So I ask that question, and I'll leave it with you. And I think it's something we should plan for.
Thank you for your question, Mr. McBride. We'll certainly, look, without going around the room, I can assure you that each and every one of our councils value our devil and our wildlife. And we will be having further discussions with the Minister for Infrastructure on something that we'll ask him, because it is their construction. But, yeah, thank you for your question. Questions on notice from councillors. There was a question from Councillor Grace in relation to red gravel, and Mr. Reeve has provided a response on page 4 and 5. Questions without notice from councillors. Are there any questions without notice? Councillor Chatham.
Yes, Mayor, I've got three. One will need to be taken in committee, with which I've spoken to the GM and he confirms it should be in committee. My first one is in regards to Roslyn Avenue. There was some areas marked out for repairs for the pavement failure, and the repair area was right outside St Aloysius School. So my question would probably be to Mr Reeve and to the General Manager, can we have some guarantee that this repair work will be undertaken during the school holidays, because the majority of that pavement is at the actual school crossing, and during the school holidays would be the best time it should be completed. It's been marked out for a couple of months, so I'm just seeing if we can, if it's not scheduled, could we please have it scheduled?
Mr. Ray?
Three in there. Yes, we'd certainly be looking at trying to minimise the convenience for anybody there. I have to take that one on notice in terms of the actual timing for that.
Thank you. And my other question, the staff aware of a higher problem at Kingston Beach Hall last weekend?
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Short answer, Councillor Chatterton, is yes. We had a council officer in attendance at midnight on Saturday night. The police were called. I've seen the photos of the damage, and there will be a future report coming to council to address what is becoming something of a pattern at the hiring of our venues.
Councillor Grace.
Thank you. Can the General Manager advise if he has received any complaints regarding the rubbish collection over the Christmas break, as as a councillor, have received several about the lack of picking the rubbish up?
Mr. Reeve, then, would you be better placed to answer that?
Particularly on Bruny Island.
Mm-hmm.
Through you, Mayor. There was one complaint that we received about some lack of rubbish collection down at Kingston Beach or Blackmans Bar, I don't know which one it was now, off the top of my head. But I haven't heard of any complaints about any litter collections on Bruny Island that have come through to me, no.
Could Mr. Rees look at it, and was there extra bins put in place? That's another question for that Christmas break. I think you'll find that the Community Association and the Advisory Group both asked Council to look at that prior to the Christmas break.
Thank you, Councillor Grose.
Did
we have further extra bins out, Mr. Reeve, in particular to Bruny Island?
Through you, Mayor. Yeah, there was some discussion with the community about that, and there was an additional bin that was put down near Great Bay after some discussion with them. The other thing that we also did there is have some more regular patrols in terms of our roadside litter as well. So that was a complaint from a previous year. So we've actually had some additional patrols as well.
Thank you. And you've got another question, Councillor?
I've got a couple more. The general manager advised us regarding the spring farm at the last council meeting that now it has been resolved. Could the general manager provide us with a report on what was resolved, what was the difference between the two conditions that were set by council some 2 years ago?
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'd be happy to provide councillors with a written response.
Thank you so much. And my third question is, Mr. Mayor. Mayor, I met with the general manager, I think it was on the 6th of December, relating to a staff matter, i.e. possibly a code of conduct. I have not received any response from the general manager.
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Grace, it would be inappropriate to respond in this forum given that that is part of a matter that may be dealt with by another jurisdiction.
Thank you. That's all of them, Councillor Grace.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Bastone?
I think this is possibly a planning thing, but under the new planning scheme where it says council permits gone for low-risk jobs, and it says small sheds and carports can be carried out, the building of them, without the need for a building permit. Does this mean that nobody actually inspects how close to boundaries they are?
Mr. Ferrier?
Through the chair, it's a building matter. It's not a planning matter, it's not a planning scheme, it's under the new Building Act. There will be a requirement for the building surveyor to check that no planning rules have been breached in relation to any new building works. So while council will be notified of it, the initial onus is on the building surveyor to make those checks. So there is an element of risk there. Where we can identify there's a need for a planning permit, we will do so. But we may find out after some of those building designs and building work has been constructed.
Councillor Percy.
Thank you. Kingborough Council advertised in the paper on Sunday that residents should be bushfire ready, which was a good initiative. I have information from concerned Bruny Island resident that roadside slashing is not being done on Bruny, and the roadside growth is over 2 foot high in almost all areas. This is not assisting farmers and the like who are trying to do the right thing. Will Kimber Council take responsibility if fire starts on a roadside and or when will the slashing be completed on Bruny and probably other areas similar?
Mr. Reeve, are you able to give an update in relation to slashing throughout Emmons Valley, please?
Through you, Mayor. Yes, I certainly know that we are doing some slashing on the mainland at the moment. I'd have to get back to you in terms of the time frame for the slashing on Bruny Island.
Thank you, councillors. We'll move on. Page 5. Pardon?
Sorry, I couldn't...
Councillor Winter.
Yeah. Okay. The public toilets at Blackmans Bay are currently a disgrace. What arrangements, if any, outside of normal arrangements, are in place to clean and maintain public toilets in the municipality over the holiday break?
Mr. Reeve?
Look, as far as I'm aware, it's on the normal schedule that we would actually have for all our public toilets, so there's nothing that's out of the ordinary in terms of them not being cleaned. So these are done by contract, so we have a contract that actually covers that eventuality.
Thank you. Councillors, we'll move on. Councillor Reid.
You may recall that at the AGM that we held in December, there was a comment or a request, I suppose, from one of the members in relation... Actually, sorry, it wasn't at the AGM, it was at the Consultative Forum prior to the AGM, in relation to Alan Cliffs and the amount of overgrowth on the track at the moment. And I think a note was made of it at the time, but I'm just wondering if anything's been done as a follow-up, because when I walked it about 10 days ago, parts of it were very, very overgrown, and it's the peak period at the moment for people walking the track.
Mr. Ferrier.
Through the chair, I'll take that on notice. After the forum meeting, I did notify the recreation officer in terms of to follow that up, and she was aware of it. But I'll follow that up again to make sure that something is done with it.
Now move on to page 5. Next item is motions on which a notice has been given. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no notices of motion received. Petitions still being actioned. There were no petitions still being actioned. Petitions received in the last period. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no petitions had been received. The time is 5:47 and the open session of council will adjourn. The planning authority meeting will commence now at 5:47. On page 6, the first officer's report on delegated authority for the period of 30th of November 2016 to the 21st of December 2016, and there is a recommendation on page 10. Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Thank you, Councillor Percy. Councillors, are there any questions or comments in relation to the items listed? There being none, I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Percy, that the report be noted. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is page 11. Development application for subdivision of two lots at 124 Thompson's Road, Allen's Rivulet, for Lark and Crease. And there is a recommendation on page 23. Thank you, Councillor Grace. And thank you, Councillor Percy. Councillor Grace, wish to open debate, please?
I find the report just about explains everything. It deals with all the issues in relation to the actual block, so I'll leave it to my colleagues if they've got.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Any further discussion, councillors? If not, I will put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Percy, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Service be received, and that the development application for subdivision of two lots at 124 Thompson's Road, Allen's Rivulet, for Lark and Crease be approved subject to the following conditions. And as you can see from your agenda, there are 17 conditions. I'll put that recommendation. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 30. It's a development application for dwelling at 4 Admiral Court, Blackmans Bay, for Maverick Builders Proprietor Limited. And there is a recommendation on page 40.
So moved.
Who so moved? Councillor Chadden and Councillor Reid seconded. Thank you. Councillor Chadden?
Yes, Mayor. I read this one with interest, particularly the representations that were put forward. And knowing the site, I was rather surprised, because this is one of the first houses to be built in this particular cul-de-sac. But it's a single story building. I mean, the slope of the land's there. It's been approved for houses to be built on it, and I think the staff have covered everything exceptionally well in addressing the concerns of the representatives, and therefore I endorse the report by the staff.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Councillor Percy?
Yeah, my only concern was the jockey parking. I don't know, is that very common, or could I ask the planner, is that very common in the area? Because I know it's going to inconvenience just the people that...
That is common throughout a municipality.
It is, right. Yeah, it's just it seems like a bit of a pain in the butt for people that live in those residences, and they may start parking in the cul-de-sac, which is going to start is the concern of the person that puts in the representation, but if it's common, then I'll accept that. Thank you.
Further debate, councillors? I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Reek, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1 Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Service be received, and that the development application for dwelling at 4 Admiral Court, Blackmans Bay, for Maverick Builders be approved subject to the following conditions. And as you can see, there are 6 conditions. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. We'll move on to page 48, and that the time is 5:51. The open session of council will resume. And the first officer's report is a biodiversity offset policy review, and there is a recommendation on page 53. Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. As the report describes, trigger for this review is to bring our policy in line with the legislation. Trust our staff have done a thorough job of this. The report covers it, and it's pretty much an administrative motion, and I recommend it. Thank you.
Councillor Chadden?
Yes, I agree with Councillor Atkinson. We workshopped this, but what I am pleased that staff have put in the new policy, we talked about, and it talks about in the actual report, that 20% is needed for administration, and I'm pleased that on the table on page 60, we've actually now gone for 12,000 per hectare. So we've included the 20% as one figure, and the staff were talking at one stage about having two figures, and I did suggest it'd be far clearer for individuals if we just had one figure, which they have done, and I'm pleased that they've done that, and therefore I'm quite happy with the suggested new policy.
Thank you. Councillor Wiener?
Maybe I must have read the report a little differently to Councillor Atkinson. I didn't feel it was purely administrative or administrative. There are some changes here, and Councillor Chatham has just touched on one of them, which is the change in financial offsets. I sat in on the workshop, which I must say I actually found reading the report more useful to me, and that I feel like I've got a better understanding now than I did at the workshop. My first question was just about the $10,000 per hectare for vegetation communities or proposed to increase that with 20%. Understanding that the $10,000 per hectare is a legacy of the Forest Practices Authority from back in 2004, however, I'm interested into why the proposal here is to maintain or increase that. Is there any economic or scientific basis as to why we're valuing these pieces of land at $10,000 or up to $10,000 per hectare?
I'll ask Ms. Den Exter to respond, Councillor Winter. The one on the side.
Is that working? Yeah, it is. Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. The $10,000 per hectare that was arrived at in 2004, as you acknowledged, is a legacy of the Forest Practices Authority. So we weren't involved in the details of coming up with that figure, but the information that we have at hand is that was based on the cost of acquiring land and rehabilitating parts of that. It's quite a conservative figure, so it is at the lower end of what it would take to achieve the outcomes we're seeking, and does mean that a lot of those outcomes need to be achieved, not necessarily in urban areas where the land prices are higher, but in more rural areas where we can also get better bang for buck, is how it's described. So larger parcels for less money, if you like, or larger areas protected.
Thanks. Answers your questions, Councillor?
Yeah, it does. So I guess it's mostly, it appears to me to be a legacy, and perhaps it sounds like from the response that it could be the lower end of what it could potentially cost to replace these particular areas of high conservation value. So I was interested in that because in this particular instance it seems like we're just continuing on without potentially thinking about a more significant change. My next question is about who determines conservation significance, and what avenue does a proponent of a development have to argue against that determination?
Mr. Nexter.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. The planning scheme itself establishes the different levels of conservation significance, and they're quite clear, and the definitions that we use are consistent with other regulators, so that's quite well established within Tasmania. The ecological consultants that are engaged by developers do an assessment of the value based on their expertise, but obviously there can be differences of opinion, and where that occurs, we often refer it to the state government, to the Policy Conservation Advice Branch, and they can help work through some of those differences. And I guess the worst case scenario, if you like, is that it could be subject to an appeal if there was a difference of opinion where council took a different view to the applicant, or the ecological consultant acting for the developer. So there is an avenue for that, but we haven't experienced that to date. It's been fairly smooth in terms of being on the same page.
My next question is about consultation. 7.2 talks about council having contact details for regular applicants and ecological consultants, and being proposed that stakeholders are notified of the revised policy via email. Is it not possible to consult with these stakeholders about a draft policy proposal and seek their input before council endorses this new policy?
The next up.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. There was extensive consultation with the Southern Regional Offset Guidelines, and what we have in the policy before council today is consistent with the detail that's in those guidelines in terms of things like ratios, the sorts of values that we're looking at. So in many respects that consultation has occurred, and now we're updating the policy to be in line with that. But otherwise we'll take that in terms of whether the councillors wish for further consultation to occur. That's certainly, as staff, something that we could be directed to do if that was seen as appropriate. But there has been broad public consultation and consultation with specialists through the offset guidelines themselves.
What about specifically in that same line of questioning, what about specifically with property developers? What's the consultation process been with them so far?
Mr. Nexter.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. There hasn't been any direct engagement with property developers per se around the offset policy, and most of the values, so where the policy applies is... the planning scheme dictates that rather than the policy, and that went through the usual statutory processes for the planning scheme. So, and in terms of where this policy fits compared to the last policy, the main changes will be greater efficiency for the developers rather than increasing rates apart from the 20% administration. It's a simplification for them, and in some instances a slight reduction in ratios in some areas, so having a distinction between very high and high conservation value trees, for example.
Yeah, that it sounds great if there can be efficiencies in the way that not only councils dealing with developers, but in the efficiency the way that developers deal with us, and I think that makes that obviously improve the process and our relationship with developers who are driving economic value in the municipality. I guess it still worries me that potentially we're missing out on a opportunity to talk with them about how we can optimise this policy. Yes, I have no reason to believe it wouldn't be more efficient, this policy, than the previous one. But that doesn't mean to say we couldn't improve it by further consulting at all with the people on the development side of this. So I would prefer to see some consultation. However, I'll wait to see what fellow councillors say.
Thank you, Councillor Winter. Councillor Gross.
Yes, I think it's a bit of loose-ended in the situation that it's not being consulted properly through the community, the consultation. Yes, I get a lot of feedback from various developers that this is an unfair policy. council staff can look at it in a different light than their consultants. That always happens, but I just don't think this is something that is practical at this stage. It's too open-ended, in my opinion. Like the tree presentation offset, the offset for a tree, $500. I mean, it's really a joke, because unless you're going to take, unless there's a subdivision that's going to wipe out 100 trees or something like that, I can understand it. But somebody that has permission and bought a block of land, and they could be young kids that's taken them 10, 15 years to pay the block of land off, then they decide, oh, we'll build a house now. And then they find they've got to pay $1,000 if there's two trees on their block to the council. Well, I think that's wrong, because we've accepted that block to be a building block. So I vote against it.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Further debate, councillors? If not, I'll ask Councillor Atkinson to close debate. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. It's been interesting to me to hear Councillor Winter's questions and also the points that Councillor Grace has raised. I guess in response, I mean, the report says that the existing policy has been working effectively, and the recommended, or the motion that we move says, you know, it says review this policy within 5 years. If there are, you know, issues that arise through consultation, there's nothing preventing us from reviewing it earlier than that. And so the issues that Councillor Winter raised, you know, if we decide that we need further consultation, we can certainly have a review of the policy. I think it's important to get this in place. I hear Councillor Grace's point about people should be able to develop their land, but people also have a responsibility to maintain, you know, the environment within which their land is. And so I think this is a fair policy. I think it's there's work being put into it, and I think that we should pass it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Atkinson, seconded by Councillor Berry, that Council A, adopt the amended biodiversity offset policy with immediate effect. B, communicates the amended changes to regular applicants, ecological consultants and the broader community, and C, reviews this policy within 5 years to ensure it remains consistent with statutory requirements and best practice offsetting. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? We'll have a show of hands, please, or a division. Councillors in favour are Councillors Bastone, Percy, Chatterton, Berry, Atkinson, Reet and Wass, and opposing we have Councillor Winter and Councillor Grace. Motion is carried. The next item is on page 63, Guidelines for Expenditure of Kingborough Environmental Funds and Delivers Model and Delivery Model for Expenditure of Base Funds. There is a recommendation on page 68. And I have Councillor Atkinson and Councillor Reet. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. This is another policy that's been, we've discussed at length in a workshop. And it's interesting looking at the three points of it. I mean, the first part of it is renaming the Tree Preservation Fund to the Kingborough Environmental Fund, which it's a minor thing, but I guess it's showing a slightly different intent with how we're using this money. It's about environmental responses, not just, you know, we plant a tree because the tree's been cut down, but how do we preserve environments in the municipality that we're damaging through development. The second part of it is endorsing the guidelines for expenditure, and that's, I guess, the meat of the policy, which is how should we be spending this money that we've gathered up from developers. And the third part, about seeking to develop partnerships with conservation organisations, I found in some ways to me crucial in effectively using this money. There are people who are good at making private reserves. There are people, you know, there are organisations, when the Tasmanian Land Conservancy was mentioned when we were discussing this before, there are people that do this really well. And I think it's fantastic that the staff are recommending that we deal with these people who have experience in this area, rather than us reinventing these ideas, that we work cooperatively with people that have experience in these ways. I think this, to me, will be an effective way of using these funds. You know, we could do ad hoc things with planting a tree here and there or preserving a little bit of land that we think might be useful, but I think this policy is a much more thorough approach, and I commend the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Percy.
Yeah, I have to agree with Councillor Atkinson's summary there. I think that's good. My concern has always been that we've had these funds sitting there since 2004, some since 2004. It's been building up so much, and we didn't really have a strategy to spend them, even though I think it says in the report that they wanted to get some quantum in the value before they could actually make a difference. So I think this this recommendation is great in that regard, and I thoroughly support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Reid.
Thank you. I just wanted to add my support to this. I thought that the workshop that we had some time ago was excellent in presenting to us a broad delivery model that wasn't just about planting a tree for everyone cut down, but actually being able to have a much more strategic approach with a range of options so that we could get the most out of this and the best environmental outcomes that we could. And I do feel that in putting this together that we are leading the way, certainly ahead of many other councils in this regard, and I think it's something that we should be proud of, and I support this wholeheartedly.
Thank you. Councillor Grace.
Gee whiz, I'm on the outer tonight, aren't I? I won't get a cordial after the meeting, I don't think. I don't support it because we've got so much money, and as it's just been identified that it goes back to 2004. I think one of the projects that we could have used some of this money on was the planting of the trees down Beach Road Snow for the commemoration of the 67 bushfires, but didn't think of that. We've got a policy. Yes, we're going to introduce a policy now how to spend it after we've got $500,000 sitting in the bank. And that's taken money off ratepayers or developers, and ratepayers are paying for it, because the people that go and buy the block of land off the developer, they're the ones that's paying for it. And that's our kids, our grandkids, etc., which is putting a great expense on those blocks of land unnecessary, because if we haven't got a policy to spend it, my argument is, why are we collecting it?
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Bestow.
I just have a slight worry with 4.9, where it says it recommends the council partner with other conservation organisations. I just feel that's quite a loose statement, and I would rather see some names of organisations in there. And I realise organisations change all the time, but I'm just sort of worried that, you know, I guess it's my conservative background coming out. Sorry.
Would you like me to ask Ms Quinn to give you an indication of what she's thinking along the lines of? Ms Quinn, would you do that for me, please?
Sure. Through you, Mr Mayor. The reason I didn't... I think you talked about it at the workshop that I'd been talking to other organisations about the possibility of them delivering some of the outcomes, and particularly the component around new reserves on private land. And the reason I didn't put that into the report was because I haven't finalised those discussions, and that organisation hasn't said whether they will or not deliver it. So I guess I've been talking to the Tasmanian Land Conservancy in terms of they're the one organisation who are able to use a conservation covenant under the Nature Conservation Act. So they are the only organisation, along with the state government, who can do that. So that's why I have been talking to them. But I don't have any formal arrangements. I've just had initial discussions. We're now starting to talk about a potential contract. We may use Greening Australia. We may use a range of other ecological consultants in terms of the revegetation component.
Thank you. Councillor Weiner.
I just want to say I think this is a really smart way to use the funding going forward, and particularly using those third-party groups that have got expertise. As Councillor Atkinson said, there are groups that do these type of activities very, very well, and if we can utilise their expertise, particularly ones based in Kingborough, that would be great.
Councillor Chadden.
I just wondered if we could add to C that staff come back to council when they've had firm commitments from other organisations to partnership is us in this matter.
Do I have a seconder for that amendment? Councillor Bestow? Can you just run that by again so that we can pick that up, Councillor Chairman?
But that staff come back to council with the names of organisations that they are successful in obtaining a partnership with to spend this money. Sorry, I wasn't watching. So, we've got a second?
Yes, Councillor Bastow.
Okay. I don't want to hold up the matter, but I just want to make sure that those councillors that have some concerns, the concerns will be addressed and that information will come forward. And I think we need to know, down the track, who we've been successful in partnershiping this with. So it's not holding it up, it's just, and Ms Quinn can continue on with her good work, but come, just all they're doing is reporting back who we will partnership with going forward. That's plain as day.
Thank you. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you. I'm comfortable with that amendment in that it's purely reporting. We're not asking for council to approve anything further, so I have no problem with it if people support it.
Thank you. Councillor Berry.
Yes, I'm not sure I've heard what the concerns are about people who want to know what the organisations are. To those people, are they concerned that the names of organisations that they don't approve of might get on the list? I'd just be interested to know exactly what the concern is. And if people can be open and straightforward about this, then I'll know which way to vote on the matter. But what are we going to do when we actually have the information about the names? Are we then going to get excited and upset? Let's be like that. But at the moment, I'm not persuaded that we need this amendment.
Thank you. I'll ask Councillor Chadden to put that in his closing address. Any further debate, councillors? In that case, I'll ask Councillor Chadden to close debate.
The only reason I got it is very open-ended, and I think it's valid questions that have been asked, who are we partnershiping with, and as Ms Quinn said, at this point in time, we haven't been able to get an agreement with anyone, and I think we've got an open-ended thing there, and it just tidies it up. All it's doing is tidying up the situation when Ms Quinn has been able to successfully organise partnerships. It's just a report back. These are the people who we'll be working with going forward. Simple.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Councillors, I'll put the amendment, and the amendment is adding to C, and that staff come back to Council with the names of organisations they are successful with in spending this money. I'll ask councillors in favour of the amendment to please say aye. Those against the amendment? We'll have a division or a show of hands. Those in favour of the amendment are Councillors Bastone, Councillor Percy, Councillor Chatterton, and those opposing are Councillors Winter, Grace, Berry, Atkinson, Reet and Wass. Amendment is lost. We're going back to the original recommendation that we have. And Councillor Chatterton has spoken to it. Do I have further debate? If not, I'll ask Councillor Atkinson to close debate. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to pick up on two points that were raised during the debate. Councillor Grace talked about if we have no policy on how we're going to spend it, why we're collecting it. It's a legitimate question. I think this motion resolves that, in that it's putting in place a policy of how we're going to spend it. What happened in the past we can do nothing about, but what we have now is a policy that says we're collecting this money and what we're going to do with this money from now on. On the issue of which organisations we're partnering with, I hope that people don't vote against this motion purely because that amendment was lost, because that information will be available to us anyway. It was only an amendment to report to us. It wasn't to ask our approval. You can always go to the General Manager and say, so how's that progressed? Nothing's really lost by losing that amendment, so I hope that that doesn't dissuade people from supporting the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Atkinson, seconded by Councillor Reid, that Council A endorses the renaming of the Tree Preservation Fund to the Kingborough Environmental Fund. B, endorses the guidelines for expenditure of the Kingborough Environmental Fund. C, seeks to develop partnerships with conservation organisations with expertise in establishing conservation reserves on private land to increase the rate at which offset actions are secured. Councillors, those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? We'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Councillors in favour, if you would raise your hands. We have councillors Winter, Grace, Percy, Chatterton, Berry, Atkinson, Reet and Wass. And opposing the motion, Councillor Bastone. Motion is carried. The next item is on page 75, recyclables at events. And Councillor Atkinson, you'd like to move something, I understand.
I'd like to move a slightly different motion or an addition to that motion. I'd like to move that Council develop a policy on managing waste and recycling at Council-run and supported events, including provisions encouraging the use of compostable and reusable food and beverage containers with the goal of phasing out the use of other containers by 2020.
Thank you. I'm just waiting for Amanda to... She's got it there. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Reid. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. This motion, and as the report said, it follows up from the previous motion that the Council supported, which was that Kingborough Council officers provide a report to Council on ways to discourage provision of single-use plastic eating utensils, plates, cups, etc., and ensure the provision of recyclable collection facilities at Council-run and Council-supported events. The report covers really well what the issues are, and that we do some good stuff already, and we encourage people to use have recycling facilities and to use recycles, particularly at events like Love Living Locally. I think that this motion takes us to the next step, that we say we want to talk about recycling policy, and that was how the original motion was worded, but I wanted to include specifically the part about provision of compostable and reusable food and beverage containers, because I think it's a very important, in the goal of overall what waste streams we have, it may not be a huge component, but it's an important symbolic one to say we don't want people using throwaway plastics in our community. Plastic never breaks down. Even some of the biodegradable, what's said to be biodegradable containers, break down as a tiny bits of plastic that stay there forever. And I think as a council, we've taken really strong environmental stands in some places. I think that this is a good policy to sort of to say that as a council, we don't want to be putting rubbish into the environment. I thought carefully about the wording, and I think that we want to encourage people to use this to enable them to show leadership of how they can do this. The report talks about costs of additional costs to people of compostable containers and so on. It talks about things being four times as expensive. The actual costs, I mean, when you look at them, and I've only looked at the cost to me as a certainly not someone in the trade, but if I went and bought stuff off the shelf, you're talking about a few cents extra. It's not 50 cents, it's not a dollar extra, it's something costing you 12 cents more for a bowl, or 4 cents more maybe, or 2 cents more for a fork, that sort of thing. There's a tiny, tiny incremental costs when you're talking about someone selling a $5 meal or a $3 drink. They're not going to be things that make or break someone's business, but they are going to set a standard for the sort of things we want in this community. And so I hope that people support this. I put the bit about the goal of phasing out. I think that we should have some sort of timeline of what we're aiming for. Of course, if in a few years we say that's unrealistic, we can revisit this and make other decisions. But I think that we should set a position of where we want that this community gets to go, as far as putting rubbish out there. Single-use plastics are, to me, a ridiculous thing, that we take a fork and we use it for 5 minutes and put it in the bin and it goes to landfill forever, or it goes into the into the stormwater or onto the beach, the plastic bowl goes out to sea. These things never break down, and I think that we should set an example about this. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Percy.
Yeah, I just wonder if I'd get a bit of clarification from Councillor Atkinson, if I could, is that okay? You said there compostable and reusable food and beverage containers. Now, if somebody, obviously, say, down in the beach where they sell soft drinks, what sort of a combustible or reusable container would you use for a soft drink? I mean, how else could you get that soft drink?
Oh, look, things that are already packaged, but I'm talking about if you give a plastic cup with that drink, a plastic cup that's made out of, you know, you can get stuff that's made out of, I don't know exactly what it is, but, you know, fibres that break down rather than plastic. It's not saying get rid of the tin that the drink's in. You can't do much about that, the package that it originally comes in. But it's the cups and the plates and the forks and those sorts of things that I'm trying to deal with. You know, if you buy something, it's already in, you know, if the vendor's already got it in that container, there's nothing I can do about that, I agree.
Happy with that response? Councillor Bester?
And can I just say, I know I'm very old, but when I was young, there were drinking fountains, and you got your water out of a drinking fountain, and now everybody has a plastic bottle that they throw away. And I think if we start banning plastic drink bottles at these events, it would be a really good sign. Sorry. Sorry? No.
Councillor Weeder.
My question, I think, to Councillor Atkinson is about, hypothetically almost at this stage, what sort of provisions would you be thinking about to encourage the use of... Are you talking about... It appears to me that... So I guess I'm looking for clarification. It appears that you're talking about encouraging the use of reasonable food and beverage containers as opposed to punishing those who don't. So what sort of provisions are you thinking about that could encourage this use?
I think part of that is just education. It's just saying, you know, where it's providing information on where things are available, that there's not huge cost penalties, that there are people that will buy stuff because they're available in those containers. I know that, you know, I know many people that are very selective about who they buy from, depending on what containers it comes in. So it's that sort of public education or vendor education that I'm interested in. We could go to the extent of, you know, bulk purchasing and things if that was a way of moving it forward, but I'm leaving that implementation detail to the staff. But what I didn't want to do was to let this slip through as just talking about recycling and so on without this specific point being included in that policy. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't know the details, but we have staff who could develop it. They're the sorts of ideas I have.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking about whether this is going to be a policy that sits on the website and no one ever sees, or whether it's a policy that drives outcomes, and I can see that's what you want to see. So I think I'll support this, but I guess it just raises the same concern that I think I may have when you put the notice of motion, is that we know that it's expensive to run events. You and I have helped run an event at Bonnet Hill recently. We know how tight funding can be, and I don't want to see a policy that forces community groups in particular to become unviable when they run events. So I want to make sure that we are not inhibiting people from running community events, and if we can do things positively for the environment and not impact the ability of community groups to run events, then I'll be happy with that. So looking forward to seeing the policy if this is supported.
Thank you, Councillor Winter. Councillor Gross.
I can see merit in it, but again, this is to develop a policy, so that's all we're voting on. But I believe if this council was to take a stand, it needs all other councils to do so as well. So it's something that should be a major issue on the LGAT, because then it can be controlled. Just thinking, it can be controlled, probably not 100%, but 80-90% by when food permits are issued by councils to reduce that. So if that's the sort of thing that we're looking at, but at the moment I'll support your motion, Councillor Atkinson, because we need to get somewhere with it, but they're the sort of ideas that we need to come forward with.
Just in response to that, Councillor Gross, some councils already do that in the state, but yes, it's something we could take to Leggett. Councillor Chatterton?
Yeah, I have some concerns with the motion. As put, I do prefer the motion that was printed in the agenda. I believe that to go to this extent that Councillor Atkinson is proposing, we should have had some consultation with groups who are running these events and seeing how much impact this is going to have on them. In one situation, Councillor Percy asked a question to Councillor Atkinson, and he said there's nothing to do with drink bottles that are there, and then Councillor Bastone comes out and says, I want to see the plastic bottles. That's a completely different thing. It's not covering those plastic bottles to which Councillor Bastone referred to, because this is talking about other containers. So here we are. Councillor Atkinson answered the question to Councillor Percy and said it didn't include those plastic containers and beverage containers that were already packaged product. So I think here we are, we've got a difference of opinion, and I think we should be going back to the original motion that's in the agenda and developing it back in with the comments that have been made by Councillor Atkinson, and I foreshadow that if this motion is lost, I'd be moving the motion as printed on page 77. Thank you. Councillor Reid.
Thank you. I support the alternative motion. I think that it would be very exciting for us to develop a policy that had this goal in it. If you look at the rubbish tins at different events that are held in our municipality, they overflow with plastic cutlery and horrible polystyrene boxes and all manner of things, and we know that they don't break down. If they can do something like this at events like the Taste of Tasmania, where they have all the compostable stuff, then we can do this. And it might be that in terms of when we look at developing the policy, what incentives there might be. It might be that at council-run events, that stallholders who commit to having all of their packaging in biodegradable alternatives get a reduced stallholders fee or something like that. So it'd be interesting to see what other councils do and provide an incentive, as well as I think the important education role for the stallholders and event organisers understanding not only the benefits but the alternative costs. But I think this is exciting for us, and I think it's important that we do have a goal. It is just that if we don't make it by 2020, then we can shift that if necessary, but we have to start somewhere, and I think this is an important start.
Thank you, Councillor Reid. Any further debate? Being none, I'll ask Councillor Atkinson to close debate.
Thank you, Mayor. Just briefly in closing, we talked about cost of vendors. The more these things become normal, the more there'll be economies of scale and the more the costs will come down. And to pick up on the point that Councillor Grace raised about other municipalities, I mean, it's fortuitous having Bill Harvey sitting here in that Hobart City Council has already got a similar note motion on the books. Other municipalities will do this. These vendors don't stay within our boundaries of municipality. They're people that come to the our farmers market here, and then they go to Salamanca, and then they go wherever else. They're the same people, and if other councils are putting these requirements, that's what they're going to be carrying anyway. This will become normal. I think it's good that we set an example and show that it's what we expect. I'm sensitive to the cost of the vendors, and I think that's important, but I think that won't be a make or break issue, and the cost will come down with the scale. As far as, I mean, I understand Councillor Chatterton's point about the precise wording as to whether we're talking about the can that a soft drink comes in or something. I think that can be clarified in the wording of the policy. I think we understand the intent. And so I think that, I'm glad that I'm getting support from my colleagues. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Atkinson, seconded by Councillor Reid. The Council develop a policy on managing waste and recycling at council-run or supported events, including provisions encouraging the use of compostable and reusable food and beverage containers, with a goal of phasing out the use of other containers by 2020. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? We'll have a division or a show of hands. Those in favour are Councillors Winter, Councillor Grace, Bastone, Percy, Berry, Atkinson, Reid and Wass, and opposing the motion, Councillor Chatterton. Motion is carried. We'll move on to page 80, Bruny Island Ferry Contract, and there is a recommendation on page 81. Councillor Winter has moved it, and a seconder, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Winter.
You could see that this particular motion out of the AGM, I start looking to check that I'm talking in the right motion now after my last meeting.
I am. I can confirm that. I'm talking about the right one. Out of the AGM, this particular motion came, and we're now dealing with it as full councillors. I think we should. I think it's important to note, I don't think it's mentioned in the report, that Chris Ireland is actually the president of the Kettering Community Association, and this item has actually come up through a community association to council's AGM. We're now speaking about it at council, and I think that's a really good outcome of having an engaged AGM. So to the issue itself, over, I think it was Boxing Day, I got a photo and a phone call from a resident at Kettering highlighting that, Councillor Bastone will be aware of this, that the traffic was down to the church, probably further onto the Channel Highway on that very busy day, and I'm sure other days it was very busy as well, and it is a safety concern. It's a safety concern when residents get frustrated and try to do things that are illegal and unsafe just to get home and avoid the traffic. And it's particularly unwelcome for tourists and visitors to Kingborough and to Bruny Island. So I think this is something that the state government should consider.
Thank you. Councillor Grace.
I think, Mayor, when the Cabinet were here, I raised the issue about parking and the problems there, and I think you felt that there wasn't a major problem at that time. There certainly has been again in this holiday period. I've been down there three times. In fact, I didn't even attempt. I only got as far as the cemetery coming down the hill, and I could see the traffic, so I turned around and went back. But it is a major problem. Again, I believe that the police were called there quite a few times again with sirens to get down there to eliminate a major accident. I don't know how we and this is my question, I don't know how we will do anything, because the contract for the ferry, I'm not sure what's in that contract. I don't think any of us councillors know. So it's really a matter of us just, all we can do is pour pressure on the council, on the government, to try and look at the parking. And we did try and do that when they upgraded Ferry Road, as you know, and underground power was another issue that we desperately fought for, and we got nowhere. They weren't interested in listening to the municipality that this place and the infrastructure's in, which is very, very sad. So I don't know how we're going to convince them with the contract, because the contract to run the ferry, he hasn't got any responsibility in that contract, as I'm aware, to provide the parking. It's the state government. And if we're going to put pressure on the state government for parking, which I'm pleased if we do, why don't we also include the upgrade of Channel Highway between Kingston and Kettering? Because I can tell you now, I've watched that traffic over Christmas, and goodness me, I don't know how many cars are on that road, but I didn't see any counters out over Christmas, but I can tell you now the traffic hasn't stopped.
General Manager and I had discussions with the Minister for Infrastructure last week, and we also made mention of that. And of course it is council policy as well that we look at, and we've got it through STCA, that they would support us with the upgrade from the roundabout at Huntingfield through to at least Kettering. Councillor Berry.
Thank you, Mayor. First of all, I fully support the content of the recommendation and the way in which it's come forward. My question is a bit of a procedural one. This is, I think, probably the first year that we've actually dealt with motions that have come from the AGM. Do we have the ability to add issues to this? I mean, my feeling is that it's a bit of a missed opportunity to for council to have a view about what might be in the ferry contract. There are a number of things about the ferry contract. I don't know what's in the contract, I wish to say, and like Councillor Grace, I have no idea, but I think there are other things. I mean, I completely support this, but I just wonder whether council might have some views about the ferry contract and how it is run apart from this. So my question is, could we do anything to not amend that motion, but to add to it, or are councillors at all interested in pursuing recommendations as a council that actually we're intimately involved in the ferry services? Do we have an interest in the contract?
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Berry, my reading of the Act is quite clear that the council is required under the legislation to consider the motions that are carried at the annual general meeting. And as the addendum that you refer to is not part of that particular AGM, it would require a discussion at the next council meeting, I suspect, possibly a notice of motion.
Councillor Percy.
Yeah, I must agree with Councillor Grace on what goes into the ferry contract. I was part of the negotiations in 1997 when the first one came up, and also in 2007 when it was revisited. I agree that the safety is concerned, and it's been raised by the BIAC committee, at previous meetings about how bad it is on this side of the channel. But once again, I just can't see how it can be written into the ferry contract, because it's an operational contract rather than an infrastructure one, I suppose, unless it's changed totally. And I still can't see how the ferry contractor is responsible for parking that way back on Channel Highway and that so on. Even though I'll probably support it, I just don't think that it can be. It's not practical. Yeah.
Thank you. Councillor Bestard.
As one of the suggestions the residents have been making in Kettering about it, because it really is a huge problem, is that someone from the ferry, that's the nebulous ferry that they're talking about, that they actually supply traffic control people. Because it's very hard to get in and out of some businesses and things because they just park straight across the driveways. So if that could be written into the contract, that they provided traffic management people at peak times.
Mr. Mayor, can I ask a question relating to that? Because they did have traffic control there.
Ask your question.
The question is that who paid for the traffic control, because they were there over that period, peak period. So the question is... Yep, they were there. I went down, I seen them, I was talking to a couple of them. Stone away. We're doing the management of traffic.
So then I would imagine DSG would have been paid. I know.
I would think DSG it wouldn't would. Be Graham Phillips, the ferry operator, would it?
DSG would pay.
Okay.
Thank you. Councillor Chadwick?
Yeah, look, I think we're talking about two issues. One issue is the ferry contract and making sure the ferry contract meets the desires of the population of getting people from this side of the river to the other side of the river. And the other matter is the road safety issue. And we have, at the next road safety meeting next week, we do have from the State Road Safety Council coming. It's one of the issues that's listed on the agenda, on my agenda to talk to them about. But I think Councillor Grace raised the point where when the Cabinet was here, I think Minister Hitting and the Premier both acknowledged that there is a safety issue down there. We talked about the ferry contract, but we also talked about the safety issues, and they did acknowledge that. So I think this motion from the AGM really addresses the ferry contract itself, and I think we need to, that's what we're talking about in this, and that's what we have to address. But there's nothing stopping us addressing the safety side as a road safety issue that needs to be addressed, and when we can bring that through the Road Safety Committee and bringing that back to Council, we can then add some more weight to that side.
Councillor Winter, if you'd like to close debate. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Winter, seconded by Councillor Atkinson, that Council lobby the State Government to consider traffic management safety issues when allocating the Briny Island Ferry contract and advise Chris Ireland and Peter Lord. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? It's carried unanimously. Page 82, Kingston Park, report and a recommendation on page 85. Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Do I have a seconder, Councillor Berry? Councillor Atkinson?
I'm not going to speak greatly on it. I mean, it was a request at the AGM to provide this report. The report's there. I can see no reason not to do as you say and to note it and provide it. Thank you.
Thank you. And for the record, Councillor Winder has left the meeting at 6:40. Further discussions on the recommendation? I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Atkinson, seconded by Councillor Berry, that Council A, note the statement within this report in response to the motion carried at Council's annual general meeting on 4/2015/16, and B, provide Rob Crosthwaite and John Cox with a copy of the statement. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is a subdivision at 90-96 Channel Highway, Taroona, and there is a recommendation on page 87. I've got hands up going up everywhere. Who was first up? Councillor. Councillor Reid was first up and Councillor Berry was second. Councillor Reid.
This is, I guess, just we're doing this after we'd already written, but it's just to formalise the procedures following the AGM when this was moved because of the time frame that we had. But I'm pleased that must have been just after they received our letter that the Minister of Education made an announcement that they had withdrawn the development application pending further consultation. So we do hope that that does take place. I note that the matter is further complicated, I think, by some TAS water works that are going to be carried on in that area very shortly as well. I do hope that there is some adequate consultation broader than just the school community, but with the wider Taroona community, if the department and the school decide to go ahead with this.
Any further debate? I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Reid, seconded by Councillor Berry, that the report be noted and Jill Hickey and Rob Crosthwaite be advised that the Minister for Education has withdrawn the application for subdivision at 90-96 Channel Highway, Taroona. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? It's carried unanimously. We'll move on to page 91, information reports. Was that an arm up or was that just... Okay, so I have a move. And Councillor Bastone has seconded it. First item we've got on the information reports is the General Manager's Diary, 21st of November to the 6th of January. And there have been an amendment since have been sent out to you, Council. And for the record, at 6:43, Councillor Winter has returned. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I just had a couple of questions. I think I've asked this question so many times. The 5th of December, you said the Mayor and yourself attended a steering group meeting on the Greater Hobart Feasibility Study. Is there any progress you'd like to report on that?
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I can also report, Councillor Atkinson and councillors, that we attended yet another steering committee meeting on Thursday the 22nd of December at 3 p.m. One that we had hoped might well have been the final steering committee, but there will be another steering committee held in the month of January, which we would assume might be the final steering committee meeting, at which the steering committee might receive the final report.
Thank you. The other one was that caught my eye was the 9th of December. Met with members of the Future Housing Task Force, and I wondered if you could elaborate on what that means, please.
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Atkinson and councillors, that's the second occasion that the Mayor and I have met with Andrew Watson and others from the Future Housing Task Force. On each occasion, and certainly on the latest occasion, they've expressed potential interest in the Kingston Park site. We were introduced to a developer who is a member of that task force who has a housing model that's probably best described as accommodation for the single first home buyer that is looking to live in a community housing situation. And we were shown amongst others products that included effectively a two-bedroom apartment, 2 to 3 bedroom apartment in a 99 square footprint as one of the models that is currently in situ in Brisbane and parts of Sydney.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any further questions to the General Manager? If not, we'll move on to the minute resolution spreadsheet. Bearing in mind, of course, there is also one in closed session. Sorry, your light's on now.
Yeah, the Bruni Island. Adam, bushfire. Oh, the bicycles first, sorry.
No, yeah, we got the resolution sheet, spreadsheet, the minute resolution. Okay, we'll move now on to the bushfire commemoration working group one. So, Councillor Gross.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. Firstly, can I just say I'm not happy at all with the findings of this committee. I believe it was set up, as you know, by council, and it was set up to reflect and respect and pay tributes to people. Well, the guest list that's been adopted by this council, it doesn't even include any residents or business people in the municipality. It reflects on politicians, fire people, mayors, and mayors throughout the municipality. I'm very disappointed. We went to a lot of trouble, and thanks to councillors who supported me through the time, giving me names of businesses and people, yet we're not going to honour the people that we should be honouring. And I'm very disappointed in that. So it leaves us to no other alternative, Mayor. That is to break away from council's commemoration on the day and form a group ourselves. And we will put a party and we will invite the community. We'll go out and seek invitations to people. I'm sorry to say this, and I really am, because it's just not worked. It's there for the commemoration. We've got people, and this is all coming from the community to me as chair. There's people that's in the hall on the day that was locked in that hall, 10, 12 years of age. They're now, of course, 40 odd years of age, and I've had an email from somebody from actually he's my nephew from Korea. He's working in Korea, and he's emailed me because he wants to come across to the commemoration, and he feels that it'd be nice if he could get up, because he mentioned Mrs. Margaret Hughes, which is Penny's mother. Who I believe, or we strongly believe, she's the only living person left as far as the teachers are concerned. I just seem to think that I think we need to look at this very closely. It's not too late, but I have made a list, which I did before, made a list, and I gave you a copy some time back, Mayor, of a list of people. That never even got discussed. A subcommittee was set up, and the subcommittee came up with the names. And the people in the subcommittee, apart from one or two, probably never experienced the bushfires. And to be quite honest with you, I feel kicked in the guts over this episode. 50 years ago, I risked my life for the members of our community. And I was proud of that, the fact that I went and done something and I followed instructions that I was given until the radio contact broke down. But I don't want to dwell on this, and it's not the end of it, but I believe that I've made a list so people can sort of, that my colleagues here can get some understanding. And for an example, the business sector that was lost their businesses through the 67 bushfires. There's only four of them, I think, to my memory. The BP Margate, Peterson's shop, it was known as Snug, Freeman's shop. The other little shop at Lectrona, that was burnt down, but we don't know where they went to. Opposite the, now it's a subdivision. Mm. The proprietors of the BP service station on the day happened to be my brothers. And I think that caused some conflict, thinking that I was trying to stack it all up for my brothers. Ray Taylor, I mean, people can remember Ray Taylor, the electrician. Ian Freeman's alive. So Ian Freeman would represent his dad's property that was lost. That's the beach shop. There's ex-councillors. I mean, why are we reluctant to support or encourage our ex-councillors to take part in things and be part of stuff, because they've put a significant amount of interest into the municipality over the last 50 years. I've only got names of the councillors that I've been associated with. And I mean, you've got people now, I can tell you now, believe that Max Doyle is not well enough to make the journey. He's not well enough, and I believe Peter Spratt, I don't know whether Peter, I think he may have got an invitation on this other one, but Peter Spratt, I think he is one that should be given an opportunity to speak. And also, I don't know, Mrs. Margaret Hughes, it would be nice whether she's in a position. She may not be in a position, but we haven't approached her. But, you know, I don't know. I haven't seen, Mayor and councillors, I haven't seen the final dialogue of the actual day on... I know we're starting off at the church, and then we're going to work our way down to the beach, and I was going to have that documented on a tape, and the aim was from Pinborough Council to send a copy of that and the speeches to Prince Philip, because he has recognised the fires twice now in 40 years and 50 years. I'm open for discussions between my colleagues, because it's now getting to the time we don't meet again. We don't meet again until the 18th of this month, and 2 weeks, 3 weeks later is the event. I'll hand it over. Thank you.
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Grace, Council have the minutes before them of the meeting held on the 7th of December. It says, amongst other things, that the committee... moved and seconded and was carried that the council staff be given responsibility for undertaking the operational tasks associated with conducting the event. That includes sending out the invitations to what will be a public event. And the invitation list is not discussed in these minutes, and therefore it would not be appropriate for council, even if it wanted to raise that at this meeting.
Could I just say through you, Mayor, Mayor Watts, I was given a copy of the guest list councillors provided by staff, and there is no community members on that list. Now, that's all I can say to you, and I was given that by staff.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Berry?
Can I just say one other thing, Mr. Berry? Councillor Berry, sorry. No, I won't. I'll leave it.
Okay. Councillor Berry?
I'm not sure. I mean, Councillor Grace needs to make a request of council if there's something that he wishes us to support. I mean, this committee's been going on for several months. I don't know when it was initially started. It seems to me to be a little bit strange, and the suggestion that there be an additional committee outside council doesn't seem to me to be a very productive proposal. We can debate this as long as we like, but could I suggest that the mayor attends the next meeting of the committee, talks about the issues that Councillor Grace has brought up, and provides the council with a report. Something definitive needs to happen. I'm not interested in going over, that Mrs. Jones hasn't had an invitation or something like that. Clearly the situation is difficult currently, and I think that if the mayor and perhaps the general manager could attend the next meeting and provide a report to council, that would provide us with some useful information on which we may or may not wish to make a decision.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Yes, because tonight obviously we're looking at only the minutes.
Mr. Mayor, we haven't got time.
But we're only looking at the minutes.
We're only looking at the minutes tonight, yeah. But what, Councillor Berry, well, thank you for that suggestion, but we haven't got the time.
We're looking at the minutes for noting. So I'll ask Councillor Weeder.
Just reading the minutes, it mentions a couple of resignations, and we've just heard from the chairman of the committee that he has some concerns. So I guess my question to the mayor or the general manager is, is this event looking like a successful, it's going to be a successful commemoration of the 67 bushfires?
Look, I think I might have been at the last one, but from what staff have told me and what Councillor Grace has told me in the intervening period from the time it was established till now, I think it should be a successful day, but I don't have all the knowledge of what's been going on at these meetings.
Just briefly, this is a really important event, and as council we elected Councillor Grace to be the chairman of this committee to organise the event. It seems to me that maybe it needs to happen offline, but if there's an issue, we need to resolve it very quickly.
I'm not aware, for example, of the invitation list, so I have seen it, but I've got no idea. But we'll look at it with Councillor Grace, that's for sure.
Sorry, did you say you weren't aware of the list?
I have seen it, but I'm not aware who's on it, no. I've read it, but...
I've kept you, as chair, I've often popped in and spoke to you about it.
Like I said, I've seen the list, but I can't tell you off the top who's on the list.
And can I just say this and I'll finish?
Yep.
I'll just say this, that at the last meeting, no notice at all, and I'd spoken to the general manager about a few issues, and he kept saying to me, you don't need to know, you're only the chair, you're the chair, you don't have to
Councilor
be told.
Grace, Councilor Grace.
Anyway.
Excuse me, Councillor Grace, but give the general manager the opportunity to respond to that.
Mr. Arnold.
Thank you.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, Councillor Grace, that is not true.
That is true, Mr. I'm sorry.
Councillor Grace, please.
I'm very sorry that you'd sit there and lie like that, because I'm very, very sorry. Mm. I am very sorry, Mr.
Point of order.
You did say Anyway.
Councillor Grace.
We were told at the
Did you want to say anything else, Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, no.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Arnold. I'm just.
So I'm going to move on, Councillor Grace, to Councillor Chadwick.
What I was going to say is, whilst there's an invitation list and whilst there may be a disagreement on who should be on and off the individual list, there is advertising going out inviting everybody within the municipality in Tasmania basically to take part. And on Saturday when we had our Akimbra Awards here, I was talking to a lot of the guests that were here and asking them were they aware and were they coming to that event, and I know a lot of them, all I spoke to said yes and they wanted to be part of it. I was talking to Mr. McNeice in particular and to others, and they were all coming. So whether they, I mean, at this stage, no one's got a personal invitation to my knowledge at this point in time. Well, I haven't had one anyway. But from my knowledge, there are a lot of people who are going because they have relatives that have been involved and other people, and I believe that there will be a lot of people there, irrespective of whether they get personal invitations or not, and I believe it will be a great success.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Councillor Reid?
Certainly what Councillor Chatterton says is correct. In fact, it's my recollection that we'd previously discussed how it was going to be advertised through Council's own social media, through our website, through media releases, through the local media and so on. But just so that I don't think I'm going crazy, I know we're not talking about the invitation list, but didn't we actually have it in front of us at a meeting sometime in the last couple of months? Because I vaguely remember the discussion where we said there are too many politicians on here, and we started going through and crossing them off. So, sometimes I have really lucid dreams where I'm crossing politicians off.
You are correct.
But I am pretty sure that we had it here, and I don't know, strange dreams, but let's not go into those. But I'm pretty sure we had it here, and we did take a view not dissimilar to what Councillor Grace is saying at the time, and that was it's too top heavy, because I think there were people like Bill Shorten on it, and we went, well, this just seems pointless, and let's actually, you know, okay, yes, there can be a federal representative, but let's not have every man and his dog there who wasn't necessarily associated. Let's not have the mayors of every other municipality there. And I think we did try to, well, certainly my recollection, I just had a look back at the minutes and it's not reflected in that. I don't know whether I was looking at the wrong meeting minutes there, but I understood that we did give an indication as a council that we wanted less VIPs and more emphasis on people from the community being invited. And I do understand, though, that one of the difficulties has been trying to track all of the individuals involved, and you know, particularly if they've moved out of the area, and the concern about perhaps missing some people off. That's always a tricky thing. Like, you know, Mr. Jones gets invited, but Mrs. Smith doesn't because somebody forgot Mrs. Smith. And I think that's from my recollection of the discussion, if it wasn't a dream, we did decide to sort of that's why we're heading towards, apart from those certain people who were going to give presentations and so on, heading towards a more general invitation that would be well publicised so that people would be aware of it. So hopefully, yes, that did happen. Yes, please tell me that happened. No? Yes? Did we have that discussion? Yeah. Okay. So has that actually occurred, though? Like, was that list then revisited after that discussion? Yes.
Mr. Mayor, just to help, I know I've spoken, but just to help where Councillor Reid's coming from, there was a meeting which Councillor Grace was unable to attend, a council meeting in December, and Councillor Grace rang me and mentioned the list, and I raised the issue of the list, and to which Councillor Reid quite correctly refers to. We discussed at that meeting that unfortunately Councillor Grace, through ill health, wasn't able to come to that meeting, and that was the council. I'm only referring to the council meeting.
Okay. All right, well, we'll move on to the next item, which is minutes of the Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee meeting date at the 9th of December. And there have been some amendments to that too on page 102.
I think if we delete Councillor Grace and put Councillor Fox there in two places, that brings it. Thank Councillor Grace for her ongoing. All right, we'll go back to page 91.
Sorry.
We'll go back to whatever page we're on. Councillor Reid.
We're on the bike advisory committee, yep. Aren't we? Good. I just wanted to make comment on the Kingston Golf Club pathway and whether that's something that I think, and we've been in the past, or is it attached to this? And I've certainly seen plans of the proposed pathway. And I'm just wondering if any council staff have had any conversations with the parties involved in relation to this and the possibility of advancing this, because I think it would be a great link to some of our cycleways.
First question I'll ask Councillor Atkinson is, where are we up to with that? Is that still at the committee level, or has that been passed on, Councillor Atkinson?
I wasn't at this meeting, but the only discussions that I've been involved with, it's been discussed informally, and there was a meeting or a visit with Rob Shears and myself at the invitation of the Vice President of the Golf Club to walk around the course and wave our arms around and talk about what could be possible with no commitment from either side or any side, or everyone made it very clear that they had no authority to commit to anything but was just conceptually talking about what might be possible. That's as far as things have progressed, as far as I know.
Thank you. Staff are not aware of any discussions at this point. Mr. Reeve?
Really, Mayor. Not at this point, but it is on our agenda to have some discussions with the golf club, not only on the path, but also to do with the flooding down in Kingston Beach as well, because some of that's actually affected down through that area as well. So it's an all-inclusive type discussion there, so that's certainly on our agenda, but not at this stage.
Thank you. Councillor Reid.
And I just wanted to ask, I noticed on page 102, under other business, there was an item in relation to a member suggesting that the no bicycle signs be taken down on Allen Cliffs track. And I just happened to have read this about 10 days after I had two scary incidents with bikes on the track when I was walking, where mountain bikers, ridden by young teenagers, came flying past with no warning on a very, very steep, dangerous area. And I heard them at the last minute, was able to jump aside, but a lot of people walk the track with headphones in, and you wouldn't have a chance of actually hearing them or getting out of the way, and there was no way they were going to stop. So the suggestion here by the bike track, by the bike group, suggesting that signs be taken down, clearly there are certain sections of that track that are just not suitable for bikes. And I just wanted to place on record, I'd be very concerned if this is something that the bicycle committee pursues, because I can tell you it gave me a huge fright, and if there are a lot of elderly people who walk sections of that track, and they could have been in real trouble had they met the bike riders that I had. So I'd hope that this is not something that is pursued.
Could I comment on as I was...
Sorry, I'll say yes, Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I said I wasn't at that meeting. It was interesting that Peter Cooper raised it, in that he's a volunteer resident who walks the track as well. I really wanted to question to the General Manager, because I believe that those signs had no head of power to enforce them, that no bike signs on that track. Do you know, General Manager, whether there's any actual... I was told they were put up by a staff member, but there was no actual authority to do it.
None of them over there right now.
Through the Chair, I'd only offer the comment that possibly our bylaw or something like that might enable us to give us that head of power.
But currently,
it does give us certain ability to control behaviour on land that council owns or manages. So any behaviour that is, I guess, hazardous or a threat to the public, it would enable the General Manager or Council to signpost or to control that behaviour. So I guess the bylaw would be probably the most likely head of power to it for those such signs.
Yeah, because my understanding is there isn't one at present. I think the points you've raised about safety are very important. It is used, I know, by a number of mountain bikers who are careful about doing, you know, before 6 a.m. and things. They come around a big circuit in the morning and they go down Allen Cliffs and way up around the waterworks and all sorts of things. So I think it's an important issue and it needs proper discussion as to what's reasonable and what's not. And I mean, the point that was raised here about whether we should set some hours that it's permissible, but it needs further discussion, I think.
Thank you. Councillor Chadwick?
Look, I'm going back to the first question to which Councillor Reid asked, and that was to do with the bikes through the Kingston Beach Golf Course. I think we need to be very mindful before we even contemplate that, is go back to the reports that have been done by Mr. Doole and his department on the flooding and sea level rises in the Kingston Beach and the mapping that's been done. It shows quite plainly that any flooding would go through the golf club, and that will be becoming worse as time goes on. And I would not like to see us spend any money on a cycle path through along the side of the golf course when we're encouraging the flooding of the Browns River to alleviate any other works, anything else that happens at Kingston Beach. And that's where the natural flooding is to go if we get a large sea rise and a 1 in 10 year storm at the same time. The water's got to go somewhere, and that's where it's always been on all the maps that Mr. Doole has got. And I think we need to be mindful of, hang on, we've got this mapping here saying we're going to do this, let's not waste money on that. If that map is, if the maps are right, we don't want to waste money.
Thank you. We'll move back to page 91. I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Reid, seconded by Councillor Bastone. The following information reports be noted: the General Manager's Diary, the Minute Resolution Spreadsheet, the minutes of the 67 Bushfire Commemoration Working Group, and the minutes of the Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. We'll move on to page 109, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. Thank you, Councillor Berry. And thank you, Councillor Reid, that in accordance with Regulation 15, the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, the following items should be dealt with in closed session. That's applications of leave of absence and information reports. Minute resolutions. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? It's carried unanimously. Closed session. If I can have a mover and a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Reid, and thank you, Councillor Bastone, that in accordance with Regulation 15, the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, that Council move into closed session. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, that is carried unanimously. On that basis, the Kingborough Council Meetings Audio Recording Guideline Policy recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease at 7:13. The